A reading from Acts, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples, and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread, the number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. According to legend, the famous investor Warren Buffett started out with so little that the seed money for his first stock fund came almost entirely from others. 11 doctors put together just over $100,000 for him to start investing with in the 1960s. But because Buffett wanted to show his own commitment as well, he contributed $100 to the fund. It wasn't nearly as much as others gave, just a thin little bit when stacked up to theirs. But still, it was his demonstration of willingness to be on the line with others. He had skin in the game, as Buffett said. Today in the book of Acts, we see new disciples getting their own skin in the game. Acts here is the companion volume to the Gospel of Luke, which we've been hearing for so many weeks. It was written by the same author as a sequel. Whereas Luke is about the life of Jesus, Acts is about the life of the early church after the resurrection. In Acts, disciples draw on the same spirit and the same example of Jesus to do the sort of things he did in the world. One of those Christ-like things the first disciples did was to distribute food to the poor. The early church spread like wildfire in part because it cared for those who were not cared for by others. Turns out, this is a pretty popular thing, at least among those who are cared for. That's why, as we begin today's reading, there are more people at the food distribution than 12 disciples can keep up with. The whole community is Jewish and Christian believers together, but tensions arise along ethnic lines between the Hellenists and the Hebrews. Those of Greek descent complain that their people are being overlooked. But the original Hebrew disciples complain that they can't keep up, especially since they want to keep preaching and teaching about Jesus to those who haven't heard yet. A solution arises when the disciples call together the whole community. They acknowledge that 12 people aren't enough to do all the good that needs doing, and they show the humility that's required in asking for help. Nominate from among you 7 worthy people, showing wisdom and the Holy Spirit, they say, and we will appoint them to this work while we continue to pray and preach. The community agrees that this is a wise solution, so they choose people gifted for the work, then commission them with prayer and the laying on of hands. According to Christian tradition, these 7 men are the first deacons called to service and recognized for their leadership among the people of God. The example of these 7 has been instrumental to the body of Christ ever since, a reminder that the church relies on far more than just preachers and teachers alone. They put skin in the game
contributing their own skill and their time for the good of the whole. Now I want you to notice two things about these first deacons. First, they're listed out there by name. Not everyone of importance has a name listed in the Bible. We don't know the names of the shepherds who first announced Jesus' birth, or of the Samaritan woman who taught Jesus about hospitality and chutzpah. But the fact that these seven are named emphasizes their public leadership. We can go to this roster even 2,000 years later and see who accepted responsibility for serving food in the first Christian community. This is how important their ministries and their service is to the early church. The other thing about these deacons is found in the names themselves. Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus. Nice job with those names, Dale. Besides being a great list of potential baby names, each one of these names is of Greek, not Hebrew, origin. They come from that part of the community whose widows have been neglected in the daily provision of food. In other words, those who are most likely to see the need for change agree to help in making the community better. To their credit, the Hebrew disciples who started this all have no problem working with and empowering the new Greek leaders, even though this formal structure for food distribution is a new thing. The church needs both long-time and new leadership to adapt in changing times. It calls on every person, named and unnamed, Greek and Hebrew, to put their own skin in the game by answering the Spirit's call to help. Now, by a happy accident of the calendar, this scripture comes a week after we voted in new leaders here at Edina Morningside Church, and a week before we received three new families into membership at the church. Last Sunday at the congregational meeting, we considered a whole ballot of candidates, all of whom agreed to be nominated as the next leaders of boards and committees. We elected a new church moderator and new members of the trustees, the music committee, the board of Christian education, preschool board, membership committee, and yes, the deacons. Each of these people have stepped up to the honor and the responsibility of guiding the church's effort in these areas. They put their own skin in the game in the form of time and talents, especially. I have huge respect for those who enlist in this way in our ministries, in an official leadership capacity, and I will do my very best to help you succeed in those efforts. But of course, there are also dozens of other non-formal opportunities for those not called or able to serve on boards and committees. Thank you, Jesus. Today's assembly, how we gather today, highlights a great many of those possibilities for service. We might sing or play an instrument, teach children or adults to better understand the faith, read scripture, greet or hand out bulletins as an usher, volunteer in the nursery downstairs, thank you, Art, serve refreshments after worship, speak up for and contribute to the capital campaign, hold those in our prayers on our prayer list in the light of God's love, count the Sunday offering, or donate items that will help someone start a new life. And if you're one of those longtime saints who has done everything in the church here over the last 50 years, you know who you are. Perhaps you're called in this season not to one more thing, but to be a mentoring, encouraging, and prayerful coach to those who next step into the roles you have led so well. There are a myriad number of ways to help put faith into action and be a visible example of Christ at work in the world and in the church. I've heard that there are only two things necessary for people to feel like they belong in a community: a friend and a job. A friend and a job. We all need someone beyond the minister at church who knows us by name and who cares how we're doing. We also need at least one way to make a difference. This is what helps form a sticky community where those who participate keep doing so because we see that we matter and our gifts and our contributions matter. We make a difference in the community. So my invitation to all our members, those who've been here forever, and those who are just joining, takes essentially this form: show up, help out, and pitch in. Show up regularly on Sunday mornings or in other gatherings of the church, which is how we make ourselves known and how we get to know others. Help out in one area of mission or ministry. Just one, don't take on all of them. And pitch in some dollars, however much or little you can, to help fund the activities of the church and our compassionate outreach in the world. It's certainly possible to skate along on the surface of the church or of any community, really. But being part of this body is more than a spectator sport. We get involved. We get engaged. Being a Christian is about living as Christ's body alive in the world now, following the example of those first deacons, putting some skin in the game, and improving the church by our own willingness to be a part of it. Finally, even as we're goosed to participate today in the church or in the capital campaign or in other opportunities, remember also the presence of divine grace. God meets us exactly where we are, claims us as beloved children, and we don't have to do anything to receive that. And then from that space opens the door for us to be loved in the world. This is the grace with which God holds and encourages you and me. This is the confidence that helps us lean in and consider what is called for or invited from us now. This is the gratitude for divine love which lays the foundation for all that is yet to be in Jesus' name. Therefore, let us pray with lines of the poet R. Lee Sharp. Loving God, you have called princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common people like the church and me to be builders for eternity. Give us wisdom with the rules and tools we have from you that we may fashion ere life is flown not a stumbling block, but a stepping stone. Amen.